Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here, The Tom Woods Show.
My new book, Diary of a Psychosis, is out. It's the most lively, devastating baseball bat to the throat takedown of what the public health establishment did in 2020 and beyond that you can imagine. It's my first book in 9 years, and you're going to love it. Check it out at diaryofcovid.com. And if you've already bought it, make sure also to visit diaryofcovid.com so you can claim your free bonuses, including my free companion volume, Collateral Damage, a collection of stories from real people who suffered under the restrictions. They weren't allowed to tell their stories at the time, but every one of them told me, "We just want to be heard." Check it all out at diaryofcovid.com. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Tom Woods Show. This is a bonus episode I have not done in quite some time, but we're talking today about books, publishing books, and the benefits to you of publishing a book, not just a passion project that you just have to do. Obviously, everybody understands the motivation behind that, but it can also boost you in various ways. It can boost your business, can boost your coaching, can boost your consulting work. There are a lot of things you can do with a book beyond just earn what are, frankly, most of the time, paltry royalties from them. And so I thought that this is an episode, even though I think it's very important, and I think even if people are not immediately imagining themselves as authors, I think it would be a mistake not to pay attention, because at some point that light may go on and you may say, I should have listened to old Woods here. So that's why I'm having this conversation with Brett Hofstadt, who is himself an engineer with a project management background, but he's now a self-published author, and he's been helping others go down that road as well. And as a matter of fact, is a founding member of my School of Life program, which you've heard so much about, which you can find at tomschooloflife.com. So Brett, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tom. It's an honor to speak with you and be on your show.
Thank you very much. You hear self-publishing and it sounds exhausting. Just talking about, like, I don't even know what step one is when it comes to self-publishing. But you seem to have had some success helping people navigate it.
That's right. And it's been very rewarding. I'll tell you a bit briefly about my story. And there's a quote from somebody, famous author also, that really caused me a lot of angst growing up when I was becoming a young adult. And it was Oliver Wendell Holmes, who said, "Alas for those who die with the music still inside of them," or words to that effect. I think, "Alas for those who never sing, but die with music still inside them." That's his exact quote, I believe. And so that really haunted me, because I thought, I have things I want to say. I actually had music. I was a composer also. I felt I had music inside of me. But what I've found by publishing my own books and helping other people publish their books is that everybody, I believe, has a book inside of them that deserves to be told. And so thanks to our technology today and available tools like Amazon and other self-publishing outlets, anybody can be an author if they make that decision. So what I've found is the most important thing is to make that decision, and then the path will reveal itself and you can learn how to do it. And there are a lot of steps involved. There's people like us, like you and me and other people who can help authors, help people become authors, but it's very available and accessible to everybody today.
Well, there's a way in which a book can be like a business card for you. And there's a way in which a book positions you as somebody who's knowledgeable, as somebody who has an opinion. And obviously, I'm sure you know who Scott Horton is. Let's take an ideological kind of book like the kind Scott would write, which are history, yes, but with obviously through a certain philosophical lens. Scott, everybody knew, was extremely knowledgeable. You have to listen to him only once and you know that. But he didn't start getting overwhelmed with speaking invitations until he published his first book, even though everybody knew the knowledge was in there. But for some reason, there's something about a book that makes people sit up and take notice. So it can be, as I say, a business card for you. It's not just, I have to tell the story of my brother-in-law who overcame a lot of obstacles. That's a great thing to do too. There's nothing wrong with that. I've had books that I've written because I just felt like I had to write them, and that was the end of it. But there are ways that you can use a book to improve your let's say, entrepreneurial venture, your side hustle, your main business. So can we talk a little bit about that? And in particular, talk about people you've helped and what writing a book might have been able to do for these people.
Sure. So yeah, there's some great examples from the School of Life. In fact, here's somebody, she's a orthodontist, Stephanie Steckel, and that's her book. So she was looking for ways to get new patients and promote her business as an orthodontist. But now a book really serves as a great expanded business card, like you said. It allows you to tell your story, to promote your business, and it's a very affordable handout for people. And it also allows that book to be shared with other people. They can take it home, so it's sitting out on their coffee table or their living room, and other people can find it. And it separates you from your competition in a lot of ways, because most people still have the impression that a book is very difficult to make, and it is. It does take work. You know, we shouldn't gloss over that. But one great strategy is if you already have a website with a blog and lots of blog posts, that can become a lot of the content in your book. You can just repackage it, and now that becomes, you know, a book content. But it definitely gives you more authority. It identifies you as somebody with authority in your field and a lot of credibility. And it does open up other opportunities, like you said, like speaking engagements, guest appearances on podcasts. It really gives you another level of credibility and reason for people to want to talk to you.
And the more, let's say, you appear on podcasts in your field, the more your name is going to come up in searches, because your name is going to become SEO friendly. People will search for you, and among the links they're going to find are your podcast appearances. So I would bear in mind that even though you may get invitations from podcasts with relatively small audiences, nevertheless, if it's in your niche, then even if though it's a small audience, it can be an engaged one. And secondly, even if it is a small podcast, that's not a waste of your time because, number one, it can give you an opportunity to practice nailing down your message. You know, you don't want to practice in front of Joe Rogan. You want to get that figured out and dialed in, as they say, on a smaller show. But secondly, if you do enough of these smaller shows, then again, somebody does a search for you and it looks like you're all over the world. I mean, you look like you are positioned to be the expert that that person needs. And then in terms of that blog suggestion you made, where you take some of your blog posts and you convert them into a book, now that you've heard that strategy, if you don't have a blog, you could start one now with the aim of basically writing a book a little bit at a time. And then that way, those blog posts will really integrate with each other because you started them off with that intention. And so I think some of the reason that there's trouble posed to a lot of people when they see that blinking cursor on the screen and they just can't start is that the project seems so big. The goal or the obstacle they're facing seems insurmountable. And they feel like, I can't even begin the first few words knowing that I need tens of thousands of them. But if you think of it instead as a series of entries on your blog, 500 words each, well, you can write 500 words. And if you do that consistently, before you know it, there's your book.
Right. And even if you don't have a blog yet, if you have an active LinkedIn profile, which I definitely recommend every professional should have, if you've written articles on there or posts, maybe the posts you've made can be the starting point for a chapter and you can just elaborate on that. So yeah, hopefully there's something in your history that can be the start, the nuggets to start with. I'll also say another good example is if you're in a business where you are looking for clients that pay you a lot of money, a book is a perfect way to be the entry point for those people. So another example from our School of Life is Darren Mullen, who I think you know, he's a Smartsheet guru. So here's his book. So he's a consultant for people that want to use this tool. So I helped him make an ebook first about his business and his expertise. And then he followed up that with that paperback book. But another good example I'll tell you, Tom, is even for people who are just employees out there, not business owners, you might be eventually having that goal, but if you just want a better job, I've used books myself and helped other people have books to get that job interview or get a better job. Because if you think about all the employees out there looking for jobs and the hiring manager comes across somebody looking at their resume and they say, oh, this person's actually an author. He wrote a book about this very thing that we want to hire him for or her for.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guarantee you're not going to have much competition in that selection. So,
oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's like in the old days, if you went on the academic job market and you had one or two articles in a peer-reviewed journal as a graduate student, you're going to be head and shoulders ahead of anybody because nobody even thought to do that. And when they realized it would be an advantage, they were already on the job market and it was too late. And also, as you kind of suggest, even in your existing job, if you write a book on something pertaining to what it is you do or having something to do with your industry, these can be small, by the way. They can be under 100 pages, and that's still considered a book.
Well, actually, Tom, even easier and better, it can be an ebook.
It can be an ebook. That's true, too.
Those get just as much attention on Amazon or other places as paperback books. There's no inventory you need. It's all digital. So it's really, that's a smart way to go.
As you all know, I have quite a few of those. So I definitely agree with you on that. But could you imagine when it comes time to hand out the pink slips, you think they're going to hand it out to a guy who wrote a book about his field? You know, I mean, just think, right? It could be job security. You know, it doesn't have to be something that you use to build up clients for your own practice or something. Although, again, as you say, it could become that at some point. But it could also just be not a guarantee, but let's just say a firm foundation for a long career. Because who's going to say, well, let's fire that guy who wrote the book? The only person we have in the whole firm who wrote a book, let's fire that guy.
Right.
It doesn't seem like.
Well, again, I want to also emphasize, Tom, the second order effects, the unintended consequences that are positive with doing this. Because let's say you write a short ebook about your expertise that you do for your job. Of course, you have to make sure you're not violating any confidentiality or conflict of interest. So you'd have to be above board on all this. But you never know what will happen. And it's probably good as long as you make sure you're not breaking any laws or policies, because the ebook really has very low chance of failure. Right, the worst that happens is you wasted an afternoon, not an afternoon, but a weekend, maybe a week doing this, putting it out there. But there's really no downside to it. And so it opens up new doors. And it also is like an insurance policy for your job, because now you have something that you've shown you can do that exposes you to new audiences. And it might turn into something bigger or better down the road.
Right. First of all, before we go on, mention your website and what it is that you do, what your role in this is.
Okay. Thanks, Tom. Yeah. So I've made a website called boostwithabook.com, and I've put together resources from almost 10 years of doing this for myself and for other people, ways that you can use a book to boost your career or your business. And I really like to talk about both of those angles, because I started as an employee figuring out how I could do something unique and to differentiate myself. So whether you are an employee looking for a better job or better career boost, or if you want to have a business that you want to boost, creating it and self-publishing the ebook or a paperback book or both is a great way to do it. So that's why I have boostwithabook.com.
Okay. All right. Very good. Well, so I realized that, you know, I've been writing books for quite some time. I guess my first one came out in 2002, so that's over 20 years. And I've had I've done every aspect of this thing. I've written books, I've come up with them from scratch, I've taken ideas that other people gave me, like a publisher gave me, and I've written that. But I've gone from conceiving of it, outlining it, writing it, or researching it simultaneously, publishing it, and marketing it. And I've done that with traditional publishers, and I've done it in self-publishing. I've done ebooks, I've done print books, I've published with, as I say, I self-published, but I've published with small publishers, I've published with academic publishers, I've published with big influential publishers. I realized I have some knowledge here. I've acquired some knowledge. And I kept finding that among my newsletter subscribers, I had some potential authors. And I thought, well, why don't I share this knowledge that I have? So I started something called the Woods Author Academy. And right around the time that this episode goes live, I am having it on a very, very brief launch special where the prices will all be reduced. So it's a thing where, you know, I'm going to be doing some live sessions where I'm going to go over, we're going to start from scratch. We're going to walk you through the whole process from conceptualizing it up through marketing it. And then after that, I've got different levels, different ways I can help you with one-on-one help or using my different channels, social media and otherwise, to publicize your book. I even have a level where you can spend an entire day with me at my house and we'll map out whatever part of the book writing or marketing or publishing process you want to focus on. We'll spend the whole day on that. So I put all that together. And I'm pretty pleased with it. So it's called WoodsAuthorAcademy.com. So that's where that is. Now, as long as I sort of have the football at the moment, I want to add one more little strategy. And this may seem a little bit like an advanced strategy, but it's something to keep in the back of your mind. And it's something that I've seen done now in several books that I've been reading, nonfiction books. And that is this. Let's say it's a self-help book, or it's a not even necessarily self-help, but anything that involves, it could be a financial book. Like maybe there's some worksheet that you would print out for your budget or something like that. And so what you would do as the author of that book, at the end of a chapter, you would say, here's your next action step. Go to, you know, mywebsite.com/worksheet and print out this worksheet and see what you think, and then go on to chapter two. Well, they go to your website to get the worksheet, and they have to enter their email address to get the worksheet. And then now you can contact them. Problem with books is ebooks are a little different. They can be a little different. People buy them and then they disappear. You can never contact them again. This is a way to bring them into your world. You have useful, it's a win-win because you have useful resources for them that you can mention at the end of every chapter. They go get those resources. They join your little community or your mailing list or whatever. And now you can write to them again, write to them about your next book or whatever. You send them affiliate offers, whatever. And so that's a way to get people from that book into your world.
Yep. I definitely agree. And if anyone has done any research about marketing, we're talking about lead magnets and sales funnels. And if you are familiar with those terms, if you don't have an ebook or book out there yet, you are missing out, because it's a perfect way to create a whole new entry point for people to enter your sphere and your email list, like Tom said. So yeah, it pays to think about the next steps that happen later. I'm sure, and you're a great teacher for that, Tom. But yeah, that's another powerful reason to have a book or ebook out there.
That's very kind of you to say. So what do you think is the biggest obstacle to overcome? I actually did a little survey informally of my mailing list. And I said, I know some of you want to write a book, and I know some of you nevertheless have not written it. So what's the main reason that you haven't written it? Have you gotten a sense among people you've talked to about what that thing is? It's not the same for everybody, but I've definitely been able to narrow it down to a handful.
Okay, I'm curious what your responses were, but I'd say there's two biggest challenges. The first one is just the decision to get started.
Yeah.
And the inertia, to break the inertia, just, I think, stops a lot of people. And yep. Then the second one, equally important, but kind of funny, is getting finished, actually getting it across the finish line. There's a lot of people that started it and have many pages or chapters written, but they never got all the way through. And it is daunting, because as with most projects, often it seems like the last 5% takes 95% of the effort. So that's why I think working with someone like you or me, or someone who knows how to get across the finish line, is key, and also hold some accountability for people, which is another great reason I think your School of Life has been so successful, because you have the accountability groups that work with each other and have coaches. So those, I think, are the two biggest things, but you tell me what you think.
All right. So I got about five that I kept seeing over and over. So one of them was the I don't know when to finish thing. Now, partly it was that I didn't have time to finish or stuff like that. But the other thing was I don't know when to finish, because I always feel like I have more to add. So we might call this the Scott Horton problem, because he's currently looking at an over 1,000 page manuscript of a book on Ukraine, and he's still going, you know? And so that's the Scott Horton problem. How do you know when to stop? Because it really is true. You could always add something more. There is always more to add. But on the other hand, you got to get a handle on that, because that's true of anything. That's true of this podcast episode, you know, could go on for days. We could bring in somebody to talk about the unique aspects of writing a children's book, for example. I mean, we could just go on forever. So I get that that's a problem, but it's not an insurmountable one. Another one is I don't have the time. I can't find the time. I feel compelled to do this, but I cannot find the time to do it. So that's another thing. Because I did this survey because I wanted to make sure I answered all the most difficult obstacles people were facing.
Smart.
Another one is I don't know how to get started, or I'm hitting writer's block. That's another one. self-publishing seems difficult and confusing. Like, I'm spending as much time on the nuts and bolts of it as I am the actual writing of it. So I actually enjoy writing it. I don't enjoy figuring out how do I get a barcode on it and how do I submit it to places and how do I get a book cover designed and all that. And then finally, the last one was people are discouraged at the prospect of not selling any, that nobody's ever heard of them before. So why would anybody buy my book? And so I know a little bit of that is negative self-talk, as the self-help gurus say. A little bit of that is they don't think anything they do is worth anything. And that, you got to get your mindset right. But it is a legitimate question. How do I get books in people's hands when nobody's ever heard of me? I'm not Tony Robbins or something. And that's a legit question, isn't it?
It is, but let me tell you, one of the big surprises and lessons I've had from publishing books of my own and helping other people do it is, again, I mentioned the unintended consequences and the second order effects. When you become a self-published author, and tell me if you can relate to this, it really is a tremendous boost of confidence and courage. And so now that once you see your own book with your name on it out there in the world, and the world doesn't crash, you know, people aren't laughing at you. More than often, they're probably saying, wow, you're an author, right? There's a positive reaction. So even if the sales are not earth-shattering, it's a huge boost of your confidence and courage to do something else and take a chance, create something else. Maybe it's not a book, but it's launching a new website or launching a business. So it really can be the catalyst, the spark to launch greater things.
What do you think? Yeah, absolutely right. It does give you a sense of accomplishment. I have had that feeling every single time I've done it. So I'm also looking forward to talking to people about my own approach to how I've written, because I've written a bunch of books and things that I have found that make it go faster. Because a lot of this is implicit knowledge that I've never like written down before. And when we used to do the Contra Cruise, we had Dave Smith on one year. And I asked him, I'd like you to do an hour breakout session for us on how you write a joke. You know, like, how do you write your set? And he said, I can't do that because I just do it. I have no particular knowledge of it. I just do it. And I said, well, why don't you give it a shot? And once he started talking, he realized, whoa, my brain is full of knowledge about this. Hmm. And so likewise, if you'd said, how do you write a book? I'd say, I don't know, just sit down and type. But then I thought, no, actually, I have very, very specific things that I do. Like, for example, I never write the first paragraph first. I think the first paragraph is the hardest one because that's the one that has to draw people in. I'll never get started if I read. So I skip that. And I just put a little in brackets, insert first paragraph, and then I move on. And suddenly, a weight is lifted because nobody cares about your second paragraph. If that one's mediocre, the whole thing isn't going to stand or fall, but you really want to pull them in with that first one. So why start with that one? So I do little things like that, any one of them isn't such a big deal, but you add them up as a strategy, you're going to find the process to be more pleasurable, let's say.
That's good. And I also think that's a meta topic also, because a lot of people have doubt that they have something worth saying, worth putting in a book. But what I've found is that everybody is an expert compared to somebody else in some topic.
Right.
So, you know, you can be a relatively new employee at a company, maybe someone in your 20s trying to figure out how you can boost your career. Well, you at least have a job. There's a lot of students or young people who are still trying to find their first job. So that could be you're an expert on something. You could write a book about it. Or, you know, pick any example you want. If you're a business owner, something to you could be very obvious if you're an accountant or who knows what you are, right? It doesn't matter. An attorney who's young, maybe. But you have tons of knowledge more than the average person out there. So, yeah, I think too many people sell themselves short and they could be helped with a book.
You know, a lot of people these days want to start a podcast. And now some of us may say, by the way, I'm all for that. If somebody wants to start a podcast, you know, I have plenty to say about it. And I've got a lot of knowledge and experience with it. But you may also say there are a lot of podcasts out there. Maybe it's getting too crowded. Well, couldn't we say the same thing about books? Aren't there just too many out there? Won't you just drown in a sea of books?
You could say that. There's definitely an abundance of books. And that's why, a couple thoughts I have on that. First one is, it's good to have some fair expectations about the sales that you'll get. If you do not have a large audience, And if you haven't done any market research for your book, it probably will not sell enough to make you retire, let you retire. But again, that's why you think people need to focus on the other benefits and advantages of having a book that we talked about. But then also the other point is that if you can find a way to have your own unique voice or perspective, there's ways to do that. And there's another great quote from, I think several people have said this, but some entrepreneurs like to say, the riches are in the niches. So there could be an abundance of books out there, and there are, but maybe there's not something specific about the niche, you know, the specialty that you want. And you can make it hyper-focused. You can even make it specifically about your town or your city where you live. So there's ways, if you think about it, usually to have a unique angle or twist on a book.
So you've worked directly with several people on this. Did they come to you at various levels of preparedness? Like maybe some of them were halfway finished or nobody had actually even started at all. What was the status of things when people turned to you?
It's been a wide variety, but one other happy success story I want to share with you. These people is two authors, and they're history authors or historians. One of them, Gary Rashide, like you.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I know him.
Right? So they had a book that was written, but they just didn't know the mechanics of getting it published and the formatting, how to put a barcode on it, things like that. What's, if they didn't want to use Amazon, what other options are there out there? So they had a pretty well written, but they needed someone to help them get across the finish line. So here's their book, happy to share, A Twisted History of the United States.
Yep.
And this is a brilliant book. I learned something remarkable on every page that I said, I wish I was taught this in school. And the twist they used is that they imagined that the historical figures had access to Twitter. So what if they were writing tweets as things happened? So it's very funny, and it's entertaining and enlightening.
Yeah, it's a fun book. I've had them on to talk about it.
Great.
So give people the website once again if they're thinking about doing this.
Yeah, well, so no matter where you are in the process, whether you're trying to figure out how do you make an idea for a book or how do you make a book that then can lead to bigger and better things like the email lists and follow-up sales, or you just want to know, maybe you want a checklist of all the things you'll need to do to self-publish a book so you can just work it through step by step, go to boostwithabook.com and you can find a list of resources there. But I'm also on LinkedIn. I'm in your school of life. People are able and glad to find me there, Brett Hofstadt, and I'd love to help them. And I'm happy to point people towards you too, Tom, because you're definitely the master of publishing and making books and helping those books lead to bigger and better things.
Well, thank you very much. So I'll have that link in the description. And also, again, I have my new program, woodsauthoracademy.com, which, by the way, includes 2 free months for new members, at least, of the School of Life to give you a taste of what it's like. And you can get in our small groups, which will help you stay accountable so that, you know, sometimes you get sidetracked or you hit a snag. And if you're on your own, you might be tempted to give up or whatever, get distracted. But when you have people who are cheering for you and you see them every week online, and you don't want to go in there and say, oh, do it, you know? So it really, really helps you to stay focused and be consistent. So that's woodsauthoracademy.com. I'll have both of those links on the show notes page and also in the description of the video right below the screen here. So Brett, thanks so much for your time, for all this good work you've been doing. I'm so glad to have you inside the School of Life community, and all my best to you.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks for being a great example for all of us.
And thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit TomWoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at Podsworth.com.